Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. Busy, busy morning, aren't we having one?
It's a great morning. You know, we're moving the studio. Our listeners should know this because we are so upgrading.
Oh, yes.
We're going to a new studio. We've got glass elevators, fancy little cafe, our own coffee machine.
Oh, you've seen it.
Yes, yeah, I've seen it. I was there yesterday. And even the sound tiles on the wall are fancy.
Yes, it's a very nice place. And they can go to businessradiox.com and they can press the listen live, and that's where they can find us at all times.
We need pictures of the new studio, too.
I'll work on that.
Yeah,
thanks. More work for me. Good job.
For you. But we definitely are upgrading in 2009. And we thank our listeners. This is our last holiday show that we'll be broadcasting in 2008. We've had a great following. We thank our listeners for reaching out to our guests, too, because in Atlanta, the business community is tight, and we really want to support one another. And we really enjoyed the comments that the folks have given us on the show and the nominations for guests as well. We hope we'll have a great 2009, and we look forward to that. Great group of guests this morning, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Wide variety. Definitely a wide variety. But first up, we have Pat Stansbury, who's the marketing director of the National Museum of Patriotism. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you. And Lee, thank you for having me back. We were on a few months ago.
That's right. A return engagement.
Exactly.
Have things changed in the last few months over there?
A lot has changed, Lee and Amy. We are so excited. We're about to launch our soft opening in mid-January, possibly late January. Got some contractor issues downtown that everybody's kind of frustrated with, but we'll get there. And we will be having a grand opening, reopening gala in March. That will be a star-studded gala, so you need to go to the website, www.museumofpatriotism.org, find out about that, and find out how you can get involved.
Can you talk a little bit about what exactly is the museum, what's in there?
The National Museum of Patriotism is a attraction, but it's also a movement. We have a mission and a message about what's good and right about America. Finally, there's a place in America that you can go, stand on level ground from all backgrounds, faiths, religions, political aspirations, or not, and find your place. I found my home at the National Museum of Patriotism as a military mom. I have a son that just graduated West Point and served his first tour in Iraq and is home for Christmas, and I'm grateful for his service to America. But I also have three other kids, and each one of them serve in their own way. You don't have to wear a uniform to be a patriot. My 2-year-old grandson just gathered Toys for Tots. He, in lieu of his own birthday presents, he gathered Toys for Tots and supported his country in that way. So everybody can be a patriot no matter where you are or what you do.
Define patriotism to you.
Well, you know, Amy, it's an interesting thing that you asked me, because when you walk into the National Museum of Patriotism, you are posed with the question, what is patriotism? One of the exciting things for me about working at this museum, we never throw a flag in your face and tell you what patriotism is. We give you opportunities to have an emotional journey through the American experience, through our interactive exhibits, hands-on displays, and things like that. And when you're finished, you come out with a mission, and I think that's what's exciting to us. When you come to any other attraction in the country, you will leave with a memory. When you leave the National Museum of Patriotism, you're going to leave with a mission. But it's not our mission. It's your mission. One of the more exciting things about patriotism for me, in my opinion, is the fact that it's an opportunity for America to come together on level ground and find what's good and right and make it better. If you see a problem, you have an opportunity to fix it. You don't need $1 million. You need a little bit of time and sometimes a little money. You could be a 5-minute patriot a year at the National Museum of Patriotism. On Patriot Day, you can come and read a list of names of the victims of 9/11. And take some time off from work, come out and join us for that, and get an opportunity to serve your country that way.
Sounds like a great place to visit over the holidays when you have family in town. Where is the museum located?
The new museum will open up at 275 Baker Street, right across from the Georgia Aquarium in the lowest level of the Hilton Garden Inn.
So it's not open yet?
Not open yet.
Okay. And what types of exhibits are you expecting to have?
Well, we have a myriad of exhibits, but I want to highlight just a couple. Our signature exhibit is the Hall of Patriots. That one is the most exciting one because it highlights uniformed as well as civilian patriots. And you get an opportunity to see what other people have done in a wide variety of ways. And you'll be surprised that you'll see Mr. Rogers in that exhibit. You'll see Bill Cosby in that exhibit and many other people that you probably wouldn't expect to see. That's exciting. There's a couple of new exhibits, though, that I'd like to mention. Entertainment and Patriotism. We have the Bob Hope Family Foundation with us. We have Lee Greenwood as our national country music spokesperson. And we have Patti LaBelle just joined us as our national R&B spokesperson.
Wow.
And so we have that. We've got several others. Access Hollywood will be with us doing a live broadcast at the grand reopening. And also the other exhibit that's really cool and really exciting for kids, Covert Patriotism. Covert Patriotism is about all of the things that go on behind the scenes to keep our country safe. Much of this is very exciting to kids because it's swashbuckling stories. The exhibit itself is exciting because you won't be able to see it in the museum. You'll actually have to go on a mission to find it. It'll be built within the walls of the museum, behind exhibits, and it's really exciting. It's one of the few of its kind in the world, and we are partnering with the Spy Museum, they're working with us on a consulting basis to.
So that's an interactive.
It is,
and
it
that's
is.
So there's going to be hands-on things for the kids.
There will be, yeah.
Sounds like there's a lot to know, and you certainly have a passion for what you're doing. How can people reach out and find out more about the museum and more about your services?
The best way is go to our website, www.museumofpatriotism.org, and check out every page. Be sure to hit the membership page. We're in a full court press on the membership drive right now.
And then what does a member get?
Well, we have multiple levels, but the one that I'd like to plug today, if I can, is the family membership. You can come in at $100 for a family of four, unlimited visits to the museum, early registration for our special events, members-only opportunities with our stars. You can come to the star-studded receptions for members-only, lots and lots more.
And is this something where the exhibits are going to change, or is it just one?
Thank you for asking. We do. We have many exhibits throughout the year. And check the website after January. They're all going to be hit up there for the whole year. We have a presidential library exhibit that's coming in for President's Day. Seven presidential libraries are offering artifacts never before seen by the public.
Wow.
Very exciting. And several others throughout the year. We're also working on joint ticketing opportunities with the aquarium and several other attractions.
That whole area is going to be a lot of museums.
And it is. And what's so exciting for us is coming to that neighborhood, the Lucky Marietta District. Mm-hmm. The camaraderie is amazing. The opportunities to work together are flowing. And I have to say a big thank you to Mark Banta from Centennial Olympic Park. General manager of the park has been absolutely awesome.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, I can't wait to see the museum when it opens. We hope our listeners will, what a great Christmas present or great holiday gift to go online and purchase a family membership.
Great gift for the guy who has everything.
That's right. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, when you're talking about holiday gifts, Lee, I don't know. I'm kind of hard to buy for. And my,
you think?
Yeah, my birthday's coming up, December 24th. One thing I would really love is the gift of art. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. This morning we have Bill Dixon from the Art Gallery of Atlanta. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us about the Art Gallery.
The Atlanta Art Gallery, we're 5 years old. We are located on Peachtree Road at Far Road, and we specialize in representational art. Representational art being, if you're looking at the painting or the sculpture, you know what the artist is trying to represent or present to you.
So it's literal? It's not an abstract?
No, we don't sell abstracts. Not that I'm opposed to abstracts. We're trying to find a niche in the marketplace. My gallery is fashioned after some of the galleries around the country that do what I do, but they've been doing it longer than I have. We are specializing only in the fine arts, and primarily in oil paintings and sculpture, and we have some marvelous drawings. And Amy, if this time of the year, what your gift is, you know, every time you buy a painting, an angel gets its wings.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So how do you find the artists for the Atlanta Art Gallery?
I'm constantly searching throughout the world, really, trying to find the major new artists in the representational style. We have some artists who are approaching us at this time, but we've recently have been showing the Jacob Collins and Water Street Atelier out of New York City, and that was we've been working for years to try to get that quality of a show here. Jacob Collins being a modern-day master and founder of the Water Street Atelier, the Grand Central Academy of Art, and also recently the Hudson School of Landscape.
How do you choose?
I really look for things that what I tell people to do in buying art. I find things that I am drawn to. I have a selection committee that tries to help me along to keep me focused on what we're trying to do. We're really trying to build a brand for the gallery. Generally, to see the kind of art that I have, you would have to go to New York City or San Francisco, Santa Fe, some of the major places, because the kind of artists that we're getting, they're leaders in their field or they're emerging. The Atlanta market here, we're still, I think, just talking earlier, one of the guests here, that we feel like the visual arts in Atlanta has not reached the point of the backing that this city needs. We are going to be the Southeast Culture Center. We need more emphasis by the city government and the county governments and the state to help promote the arts in the city of Atlanta.
Do you think that the government has to get involved?
Yes, I think so. I think anytime if you talk to the local artists, especially, I deal with a lot of artists out of town, but if you talk to the local artists, they'll tell you they feel like that the city of Atlanta and some of the other local governments have not represented them well in some of the public spaces that they could present art. And right now, and we're going through a time in our country where people are under a lot of stress, and art is a great release. It is an emphasis on beauty and also introspection, and it's nonverbal. So somebody can't give you a lot of bad news. You can look at it and just totally enjoy it to yourself.
Now, can someone just go into your gallery and just kind of walk around and just kind of get that relaxation?
Absolutely. We are one of the things about if you'll talk to collectors or gallery owners, one of the wonderful things about art is selling it. And not selling it, but for sharing it. Mm-hmm. And by selling it as well.
Selling it's good, too.
But sharing the art, if you talk to collectors, they want people to enjoy what mm-hmm. they have. They want to leave it to people. They don't buy it to sell.
Right.
If you buy art to sell, you're a dealer. Mm-hmm. Right. But if you buy art and you enjoy it, you want others to enjoy it, and you want them to have that satisfaction that you have.
Wow. Lee, I got to check out the art.
How'd you get into this?
I have about 30 plus years in the medical business, but it got where it wasn't fun because of the government intervention and all. So against all advice not to, I opened an art gallery. And I just then appeared a time in my life when I was having some difficulties. I'd forgotten what I was working for. And I got collecting art, and it just it changed my life. And if you look at the arts, it is a wonderful thing, especially to take your mind off of a lot of things that you may be preoccupied with and give you add to your quality of life.
How can people reach you, Bill?
We have a website, atlantaartgallery.com, or they can call the gallery at 404-816-7322. And I would like to put a plug in for something, because I'm really big on this promoting the arts in the city of Atlanta. A lot of people in Atlanta think they have to go someplace else to get the blessings to buy art. We are a proud member of the Atlanta Gallery Association. There are 13 members. And on January the 22nd, we're having an Art House 09 Gala. And that opens the opening for Art House, and there will be 3 weeks exhibits there. This year, it's being sponsored by the Atlanta Gallery Association, the Atlanta Ballet, and the Georgia Ballet of Belize. So we've got 15,000 square feet that will be packed full of art, and also we're having the Atlanta Ballet will be performing. So if people want information about that gala, if they can give me a call at the gallery, I'll be glad to give them the information.
Is that information on your website?
Well, hopefully after today it will be. My wife is working on my website. We can, if they contact me or just send me an email from the website or whatever, I'll be glad to forward them all the information they need.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being a guest
Thank
today.
You.
And we hope you have a happy holiday. So our next guest, Lee, Joe Kirshner is the president and CEO of Primrose Schools, and she's been listed as one of the top 25 entrepreneurs by Catalyst Magazine. She's been featured in the Atlanta Business Chronicle. Really, really smart businesswoman with a successful track record. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you, Amy. And Lee.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, we're anxious to hear all about how you got involved with Primrose and what excites you about Primrose. So tell us from the start, how did you get involved with Primrose?
Well, it starts as a passion. My passion is children. And I'm a working mother. My husband and I are originally from Ohio and moved originally from Ohio to Birmingham, Alabama. And my husband was a veterinary pharmaceutical rep. I was a sales and marketing rep. And when we started having children, I hit a traumatic experience, one that I really didn't expect to have in my life. And that was finding good quality child care mm-hmm. and early childhood education for my children. It's one of the hardest decisions parents ever have to make.
So you didn't feel the public school was serving you?
Public schools don't serve infants through five-year-old children.
Oh, you're saying the preschool.
Right. Primrose is a preschool organization. We're an accredited private preschool that offers services for infants through kindergarten, and then we have after-school children's services. But as a working mom, there weren't very many options when my children were young.
What were the options at that time?
I had the option of bringing someone in my home, which was expensive and not very reliable.
Right.
Then, or someone in my neighborhood.
Right.
Which I never knew what was going on in that house when
right.
I wasn't
mm-hmm.
there. And then I looked at child care centers, and this is 20 years ago, and really things haven't changed too dramatically since then. But what I experienced was most of the child care centers in the country were really minimum wage babysitting kind of warehouses for children.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not good.
And those are such formative years, too. Primrose has such a great reputation. Can you tell us a little bit about how their model has been built? And it's a franchise, correct?
Correct. It is a franchise concept.
So it obviously was a desirable franchise for you to be involved. Tell us some of the things that attracted you to their business plan.
Well, first of all, when I met the founders, they actually started Primrose Schools. I did not start it, but I experienced
So you were using their service?
No, we moved to Atlanta, and I was at a business chamber meeting and met the founder of Primrose School and his wife, and they told me about their private preschool, and I went to visit the school and was really very impressed with what I saw. It was everything I ever wanted for
right.
my own children.
And that was 20 years ago, right?
In 1988 is when I first walked into the first school. They had grown to three schools, and they were really just a half-day private school serving non-working parents.
Mm-hmm.
But they were already beginning to see this trend of a lot more professional working parents
right.
wanting quality care. And that's what I ended up with, my children in a church preschool, and then the trauma of how was I going to pick them up at noon, which was very hard in my career. So what they decided to do was open a fourth school. And they started in Marietta in the north part of Atlanta, open a fourth school, and realized they needed leadership and management in that school. They also realized they needed to expand the day and offer child care services in the afternoon, which is what they did.
Uh-huh.
And then they began to franchise the concept. I always believed from day one, if they could take people who were business executives, teach them how to deliver the high-quality early childhood education and child care services that they had, that it would not be just a few more schools, but someday a national company.
So you had the vision to make it national?
I actually joined them to shift the marketing strategy to full-time working parents, and I could tell that story well because
right.
I had experienced
it. Right.
And then began franchising the concept. Today we have 199 schools in 30 markets across the country.
Wow. That's a lot of growth.
Is it how you expected?
Well, it was controlled growth. Actually, this next year will be our 26th year from the day they founded the company. What sets us apart and what really makes us different is that we have an accredited proprietary curriculum. It's called Balanced Learning, and it's a very unique approach to early childhood education in that it takes the two leading philosophies of child-initiated and teacher-directed learning, and then it has a very strong character development foundation. We've actually followed our students longitudinally when they've left our schools and gone into public or private schools at the third grade and gathered their test scores, and we know that our children are benchmarking in the top 10% of their classes across the country. So we know that early childhood education, there's been tremendous research that children learn more in the first 3 years of their life than they learn all the rest of their life. And early childhood education has a tremendous impact on if you have the right environment for children, the right nurturing environment where the children are safe and secure and happy and learning, in the right type of an environment, then they actually establish a love of learning and a positive self-esteem and respect for others, and those things carry with them through their entire lives.
Now, is there some tips you can give parents that maybe aren't putting their kid into a Primrose but just are parenting them at home themselves? Is there some activities they can be doing or something they can be doing on a daily basis that 'll help their kid achieve those kind of results?
Well, the internet has tremendous resources today for the stay-at-home mom. And we actually use some of the resources that you can find on the internet in bringing our children when they're mm-hmm. in the school on the internet. But there is a lot to be said for whether a parent really has the skill sets to provide their children a scientific-based research curriculum-based program. Nurturing and loving and care is important, but so is social interaction. So many parents choose to put their children in church preschools if they don't work, but it's the working mothers and fathers of the country, and fathers are very involved in these decisions today. It's interesting, we have some statistics that you know, we talk about the stress in our country today and the economy, but really one of the greatest challenges we have as a country is the education system in America. It's floundering, it's faltering, and we are of 21 industrialized nations in 2007. There was a research study released that shows that we were second to last of all the industrialized nations in the outcomes in the education level of our children. That's just unacceptable in the richest nation in the country. And so Primrose not only is out in the marketplace providing for those parents who can afford it high-quality early childhood education and child care services, but we are dedicated and passionate about improving early childhood across the country in any way that we can.
Do you think that if you could take a child randomly, that they would be better suited to go through a Primrose program than with, like, say, a stay-at-home mom?
I think that there are things that we can give at Primrose because we have curriculum that's developed by a PhD in early childhood education mm-hmm. and resources with an advisory board. All parents are not necessarily skilled in developmentally appropriate
right.
curriculums for their children. I do believe, though, that the nurturing, loving care is the first and foremost important piece. But most parents will choose if they have an opportunity, and Georgia has a pre-K program, one of the first in the country for families who can't afford high-quality early childhood education where they can get a good pre-K experience.
And what age would you say that a child would start benefiting from this program?
Well, we actually start in our infant program because brain development starts from the moment a child is born. So we have sign language where children can actually tell us if they're hungry or if their diaper's wet. And motor movement is so important. Children are encouraged to crawl and move and roll in a musical environment because the brain is developed by the motor movement. And it builds upon year over year.
Sure.
One of the things that makes us very unique is that every single Primrose school delivers exactly the same curriculum.
Right.
So you can take a child. I have a great story. You can take a child from Atlanta to Dallas to Memphis to Denver and take them out of one Primrose school and move to a new market. And they'll walk into a school that looks exactly the same with all the same curriculum, all the same equipment. I was at a grand opening of a school in Tampa, and a parent drove up, and I was standing at the front of the school, and I watched her drive up and get her little boy out of the car and set him down. And he turned around, and he looked up at the school, and he said, "Oh, Mom, it's my Primrose School." He thought that she had moved it.
Right.
Oh,
but it's the same experience.
But it's consistency, right. And children love consistency. Right. They flourish that way.
Boy, they do love consistency, that's for sure. So one thing that you said, one of your greatest accomplishments or achievements has been establishing a strong work-life balance. Do you have any tips on that for our listeners, especially the mothers?
In my earlier career, I had this passion for I was going to be able to achieve perfect balance, and I don't believe that is achievable anymore. There's no perfection.
Upon further review, you've kind of reevaluating that.
I think
that.
Age takes you there. I think that people, more so today, in today's world, recognize the importance of balancing their career with their family. And really, you know, we work to make a living, but we live to have a family.
Right.
And people around us that we care about. And I think the materialism of life is becoming less important, and relationships are becoming more important to people. So if we're going through bad times, there are some good things that are coming out of that.
Wow, that's so true. I really do believe that. And educating our kids is so important. How can people find out a little bit more about Primrose Schools?
If they go to the website, www.primroseschools.com, they'll be able to access the resources for the schools. We have 36 schools here in Atlanta, and we're actually negotiating right now for our first urban school, which will be in Midtown, in the new Midtown growth area. And for franchise owners, interesting enough, about 80% of our franchise owners were parents in our schools who experienced Primrose and then decided that they could make a change for more balance in their lives, Amy.
Wow, that's great. That's a great endorsement. Wonderful endorsement. Thanks so much for being our guest today. And we hope that our listeners that have children and are looking to put them into a type of preschool will look at a Primrose School. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
So when you talk about, you know, relationships and family being important at this time of the economy, our next guest does think that relationships and proper relationships are critical to success in any type of business. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Carrie Bodber, who is the founder of eChain Communities.
Hi, Amy. Thanks.
We'd love to know a little bit more about eChain Communities and how you got started.
Well, eChain, like you said, relationships and business are critical. Most businesses get their business from referrals, and eChain Communities was built on the basis of building relationships first in a social environment, in an online social environment. So the concept is basically a combination of the Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, dating sites, all combined into a business environment for building relationships. Basically, how it works is you come into the community, you put up your profile, you have space for your blog, you have space for your marketplace to do your company profile, and then myself and other people in the community introduce you to other people in the community, and it basically grows from there. And then simultaneously, we have a service that provides blog writing and internet surfacing and marketing, PR, all online, offline related activity to get your word out.
What is the eChain Club and Wellness Program?
The eChain Club, two things. The Wellness Program is a company that I back end into where we sell health and wellness products, all different types of products, Slim, Sleep. They have a product line of about 37 products.
Okay.
Actually, great company. We did a lot of research on them. They NASA actually did some research with them, and will be putting their logo on a couple of their products. So it's a very well-respected company, and people who – they're all farm-grade nutraceuticals, so people who need those products. We thought that in the interest of being healthy in the work environment, you'd want to use those products. The eChain Club is about group health insurance. So any member of eChain gets an opportunity to participate in group health insurance, which, as we all know, health insurance is a huge crisis in America. And you know, unless you're working for a very large company, you're rated, you got a census, you're rated on, you know, pre-existing conditions, your age, your sex, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. This is different. You're coming into a community where you're a consultant to eChain as, you know, as a participating member, and you get the full benefits to choose from four United Healthcare health insurance plans, vision, dental, 401k, the whole gamut.
Wow. That's got to be huge for the small business owner or for the independent entrepreneur.
It's huge. Yeah. It is.
You don't want to get me started on that healthcare subject.
You don't want to get me started on it.
Definitely, because I won't stop. Okay, so how are you finding and reaching out to people to get them engaged in the eChain communities?
Well, originally we started by just the people that I knew in business and my immediate network. Then I went out to, you know, other people and their network and people that are members invite their members in. Right now I'm working with a partner over on the West Coast. He's got three other blogs going, so we are sharing blog experiences back and forth and content. It's referrals.
Okay.
Can you talk about, like, say, you know, obviously this room is filled with small business owners. Can you take them through what their experience would be like and how they can, you know, practically benefit from being part of a community like this?
Well, you want me to take them through the process of how they come into the community?
Yeah, well, first I want them to understand, like, okay, they go on to the website, and then what's it take to get started, and then, you know, why should they do this?
Okay, basically they come into the community and they join, and they once they join and I, you know, authorize their
right. So you vet every single one. You're not taking just anybody at this point?
It's not that the World Wide Web is huge and it's filled with a couple of crazies.
Right. So you want to make sure that they don't become part, because part of relationship building is, you know, there's a trust
level. I
want
to know that they're quality.
Sure.
And that they were either referred in by somebody, which 9 out of 10 times they are. I want to know personally what they do for business, because I'm about taking their bio, looking at what, you know, what they have experienced, and then saying, well, I know these five people that you immediately need to meet, and helping them get their profile and their web presence set up.
And that's what differentiates you from these other communities.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do more of a hands-on experience with this, because some people, first of all, have trouble working around the internet in building relationships, and some people just don't know how to build relationships. So I kind of do more of a hand-holding in helping you get around, and I'm very good at judging who you should meet to help build a relationship.
Right.
And I say to people a lot, I don't necessarily have to. You and I can have a relationship, and if neither one of us ever write each other a check, it's not relevant if I find five people who need your product or service and are going to write you a check.
Right.
So knowing me for that, or knowing somebody else in the community that can introduce you to somebody else, is benefiting
itself.
Right,
you're a connector.
I'm a connector.
And then this community is a tool to connect people.
To connect people. And where it differentiates from, you know, a Facebook, I mean, I'm on Facebook. I have over 500 friends on Facebook, but that's exactly what they are. They're my friends. They're people that I know, you know, since elementary school throughout life. These aren't people that I necessarily am going to do business with or need to do business with. I'm there for the interaction of the friendship.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that I haven't reconnected with some people on there that are either entrepreneurs or, you know, or are in companies that could use this product. So what do? I take them off to the eChain environment and do business there. I don't conduct business on Facebook. It's not the appropriate place to be conducting business.
Sure. If someone wants to connect with you, what's the best way?
Go directly to the eChain website. It's eChainCommunity.com. Going through the contact or just joining the community, you know, initially saying that they heard us on the radio show or something like that would be fine in the referral. And then I individually contact everybody from that point.
Wonderful. Well, we hope that our listeners will reach out to you, and you obviously are very well connected, and we thank you for being a guest on our show today.
Thanks for having
Speaking of connectedly, it's only appropriate that we bring on the next guest, because the reason the next guest is here is because we've gotten some emails about the guest through LinkedIn and through our website, and that's how connections work. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Doug Hughes.
Thank you.
Doug Hughes is the president of Meridian South. And, you know, I said, don't get me started on healthcare, but we're going to touch back on it a little bit, because Doug has a specialty in his business of constructing dental and medical offices. Let us know, is that slowing down at all with the economy? Is it changing?
It's slowed just a tad, but I found that a lot of these projects that are upcoming for people in my business are folks that are on a career path that is set in motion well before the dips and climbs of what our markets do. So when a dentist graduates from school and he's ready to open his practice,
it doesn't matter what the economy is.
He's ready.
He's there. It's time.
He needs a place to work. That's correct. Right. He or she needs a place to work.
And what makes you guys unique about, I know this is a very narrow niche. Are there other people out there that are just in the dental community?
Yeah, there's probably two other types of contractor that's out there that we compete with. One is a large contractor that's done a lot of different things, and in that spectrum, they've done some
sure.
dental. And then there's a few smaller companies that are kind of like me that compete just in that arena.
Now, obviously, when you're in a niche like that, you already have the learning curve of what dentists like and what they don't like and where things should go and what's the optimal place for things.
Right, and you just hit on the key strength of our company. It is a steep learning curve, but where I got my start in this career was about 23 years ago. I started down a path pursuing architecture, and I fell into this position of designing dental offices, which I thought would be probably pretty boring, and you know, the demand couldn't really be there for too much. And I found out that it was different. And also found out that there's a real science to designing and building a dental office that really you don't have in any other aspect of, not mm-hmm. any other, but most other aspects of construction of that size. You have a small office, maybe between, you know, 2 and 8,000 square feet. And, you know, the way those doctors, dentists make their living in each of those rooms is such a science that
That's so
you
true.
Can't... Yeah, you can't approach that job like you would a normal construction project.
Right. What are some of the unique challenges that dentists face as opposed to other businesses?
Mostly their relationship space inside their operatories. There's a real system going on there, and if they have made the science out of that they should, both for their physical health and how they sit and how they move, and just the flow of getting patients in and out of their office. If they've made a science out of that, then they've learned that there's an exact recipe for how far away from this person are these things to reach, and where is the patient's head going to be delivered to the caregiver, and all of that sort of thing.
Right, and that's stuff that you help them with?
That is something that we help them with, but more importantly, that's a knowledge base that we carry to the job
right.
that
mm-hmm.
that a contractor that doesn't know those things
wouldn't know. They don't know what they don't know.
That's right.
That's right.
And then, but this isn't stuff they teach them in dental school, right?
Negative. Negative. Matter of fact, a lot of dental schools actually don't. They're not interested in that as much. It's secondary. They're teaching how to give good oral care.
Right.
Right.
Not necessarily
not the
how
business
to protect
aspect.
The doctor's back and
right.
that sort of thing.
Exactly, as they should be. Once you've gone to a dental office that's very well designed, I just went to my dentist and, I mean, gosh, the upgrade in the office was awesome. Being able to watch TV, listening to music while they were drilling, it was so nice. I can't imagine going back to a...
It's great. And technology has really infiltrated that environment. You've got now digital x-rays. It used to be they used to take your regular film x-ray, they have
right.
to go and process it and come back and stick it up in front of a light so you could see it.
Right, not
now,
anymore.
Instantaneous, they can take diagnostics from it.
And if they can maybe knock you out in the waiting room, that would help me a little bit.
And then just bring you to right when right. you leave. That'd be great.
Right by my car.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. Well, if we have any medical folks listening, what's the best way to contact you if they're interested in learning more about your construction projects?
We'd love for them to visit the website, which is www.meridiansouthinc.com, and they can also call us at 888-410-4871.
Now, you target just right out of college, Dennis? That's your sweet spot?
No, that's a someone segment of the dentist that we serve. Yeah, there's, you know, in a doctor's career, they're liable to do 2 to 3 different offices. Obviously, the last one is usually the
That's the Mac Daddy one. That's the one you want.
Well, that's the one we want. We want them all, but that's the one we focus on because we are education and detail driven, which I think is a little bit out of character for people in the construction business.
So you have a focus on the aesthetic, not just the four walls.
Exactly. And a quest for perfection, even though you won't get there, but it's a high standard.
And while you do focus on dental and medical facilities, you're not limited to that as well. So people should really visit your website and look at the numerous jobs that you can do and the great photos.
Is it just commercial or do you do any residential?
No, it's just commercial. We've done a couple residential
friends
projects.
Friends and family?
But doctors who say, now I need an addition to my home, of course, we'll take care of
that. Right.
Well, that's a good referral.
Yeah, it is.
You did my office. It looks great. Come to my home.
Yeah, it's all about the referral. It's about having a customer at the end that is your raving fan, basically, not just somebody who is willing to pay you your final check. It's somebody that will broadcast what you did for
them. Well, every time somebody walks in, that's your portfolio.
Absolutely. And dentists have a referral network. You know, you've got somebody that does nothing but root canals. You've got the orthodontist, the endodontist. And so those folks also are a source of referral amongst their own community. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for being our guest. We hope that the listeners will reach out, definitely visit the website because it's very comprehensive, and give you a call.
Beautiful. I mean, it's the stuff you've done is amazing.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Lee.
It is gorgeous. Thank you so much for being our guest. All of the guests. Gosh, wow.
Man, made it through.
Lots of
no
great
injuries.
Guests today. No injuries. And, you know, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get Kenny Rogers on this year. Maybe next year.
2009.
He's not even coming here for a holiday tour, Lee.
It's shocking.
The closest is Biloxi. So I'm hoping maybe I can give him a call. In 2009, he'll come on and give us a post-holiday concert.
He can call in. Only him.
No, he can't call in. He's got to come in. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season, and we'll connect with you again in 2009.